is your host, Lori Moylove, here with the Limitless Podcast with a special guest from the UK. I know we're an international group of listeners here, all about creativity. And I have an amazing guest. His name is Anthony Burke. And he has written books, scripts, articles for Nickelodeon, Disney, HarperCollins, Macmillan, DreamWorks, BBC, Guardian, The Wrap, Haymarket Publishing. I can go on Paramount, CITV. And also, you've just recently released a new children's book. I was wondering, Anthony, if you could kind of go into what that process was for you in starting to write a children's book and the whole process of publishing.
Absolutely. Hello. Thanks, Laurie, for having me. I would say, without a doubt, going into children's writing is so much different to writing a script. When I'm writing a script, I find it is a far more planning process. I know the middle, the beginning. It's very structured. What I found with the difference of writing a novel, especially a children's novel, is, you know, there's a lot more space to fill in between. You know, a lot more words, so a lot more kind of description needed. And you kind of have to be able to both describe and pull back your words in order to let the children who are going to read it use their imagination to go into the book. Whereas when you're writing something for the screen or for a comic or anything, it's kind of it's a completed visual that you're providing. But you can't do that with a novel. And so my kind of starting point was I had to really relearn how to not write for an adult that already had a set idea in the mind. I needed to kind of learn how to rein in my writing so I could describe things that were fun and interesting and engaging and get the story across in each paragraph, etc. But also to leave out a lot. And I found that to be, because I think a lot of us, when we like to talk and we like to over-talk, don't we? And we get excited and I start typing away and go, oh yeah, I love that description. It's so great. I'm going to keep that in. And then you look back and think, oh, I don't need any of that because it's me just going to my book. So you see what I mean? So I found it challenging. And so I actually took up some courses on children's writing to give my mind a transition from writing scripts and articles and other things to show me that I was I wanted to do a different type of writing. I mean, I've always wanted to write for kids since I was you know, really young myself, because I'm basically just a big child, I felt like it was really useful to do the courses. There's a course over here in the UK called the Golden Egg Academy, which is especially aimed at children's writers who want to be go on to do things, you know, that have done other writing in their life. And so it was great. Yeah, I really got a lot out of that. They helped me hone down my skills and showed me how to sort of leave enough for the kids to have their space for the imagination. You know, it's a bit like with a painting, you know, when you don't need to know when to stop mm-hmm. painting. So it was a new skill for me to learn. But yeah.
Wow. And that's interesting because, you know, like children and leaving things open for imagination, I feel like that connects a lot with creativity. And I was wondering, like, how in that process when you're writing your children's book, like, in the creative of leaving things out and giving, you know, an open space for more imagination, how that coincides with creativity.
Yeah, so it's odd because what you're finding you're doing is creativity is a fluid process, obviously, and you want to kind of be able to be in a place, or you can call it the zone or whatever you want to call it. You know, you're in the place where you know you're creating well, and so it's a flowing, fluid thing. But then that has the opposite effect by you're learning to sort of stop part of that or close some of that down in order to stop yourself from writing too much. So I do find it what I've started to do, especially in the last couple of years, my writing style has completely changed because I used to kind of just free flow creativity straight down, so often on pen to paper or straight to laptop. But I really I started to consider, since I've done the stuff on with children writing, I started to consider my words more, which I know some people might understand this, and others, you know, think, oh, you can just kind of do your brain dump draft is what I would call it, from like brain to death, and then it just flows. But sometimes I've started to realize that I've got to slightly slow my fluid creativity down before it hits the laptop, if that makes sense. And then I'm kind of edging back on some of my words, because I hope that then leaves space. So that little gap where I'm stopping myself, if that makes any sense, to be entirely fluid, is the moment where it's almost like a slight filter. So that's a filter for me to stop overwriting. And then that allows for the children who are going to read it, hopefully, to see the space that their imagination goes.
Mm. Yeah, and I feel like that's a different writing than, you know, scripts, like you were saying, or writing for an article, because you're kind of like giving, whether it's an article, like the direct facts of what's going on, or a script is, you know, you're filling in those gaps. You're leading maybe some space for imagination, but not as much space, because you're guiding, you know, your audience through a character arc of some sort. So I guess I'm wondering, like, the differences in creatively, like that process versus now you're kind of like honing back, leaning back. So is that process similar when you're writing a script?
For a script, for me, I definitely spend more time on planning and research before I start writing. And I also, almost without a fault, even though I've done quite a lot of scripts, I sometimes always remind myself of what structure I'm needing to provide at the end of the script. So when I've done the BBC scripts, for instance, you know, their structure is so much different to, say, if you're going to write a movie for somebody in LA, it'll be a different type of approach. And so I find it to be far more planning process. So when I come to write the script, it flows a lot quicker, but I'm still doing it in a way which is, I'm telling the visual aspects of, so it's guiding the producer or the director to do what they're going to do with the visual. Mm-hmm. Or at least, like, you know, they can do what they like, or I can guide them. You know, whereas that's different with the children's book. I'm a far more what they call, I don't know, I think, do they use that, the phrase pantser over in America? Have you heard that phrase?
No, I've never even heard that phrase. Okay, what is a pantser? It sounds funny though.
It sounds really bad, but don't get about that. It's basically, you're either a planner or a pantser, is what we say in the UK. Ah. Okay, So a pantser means basically you write by the seat of your pants, because you don't have a clue what you're doing. so the planners are the ones that go, oh yes, I've worked out all the story, you know, writes the minutiae of everything. I know everything my character's going to say, and all that kind of stuff. Whereas a pantser will just start writing. I have no idea where I'm going, and hopefully I've got an ending at some point. So I find myself being more taking a risk with the children's books, where I don't always know. So I'll know an ending. So my creativity works where I suppose, to give you an idea how it works for me, you know, my creativity works where I get in my mind a series of scenes that I have to join up. So I don't know whether it's similar to you when you do your writing or anything, or other people that create. You have a series of scenes that you kind of have to fill in between and work towards, right, each one. And then you have an ending at the end. And so with the children's book, I don't really know what I'm going to do in between those sections. I'll just kind of write. Whereas if I'm doing a script, I know almost every single page, what's happening, how I'm going to guide it. If it's a 50 page script or whatever, I will know how it's going, and so I'm very structured in it. It's a really odd but it's quite a cool thing to be able to get your mind to use a different part of your mind to say, oh, I'm structured on this type, but I'm gonna plan on this one. I'm gonna pants it on the other type.
I just love that. I had no idea, but I feel like I'm more of a pantser than a planner. But then sometimes I am a planner too. So I feel like it's a combination. I would say, like, for me, I use note cards. If it's a script, I'm using note cards and I'm then planning out each scene. So I kind of have like all these note cards and then I'm like figuring it out and lining up the different note cards. So that's more probably the planner. And then the pantser maybe is part of like, okay, I don't know what's really like, maybe I have the idea of the scene, but I don't know what's really going to happen kind of a thing. And I'm free flowing with the creativity. Is that kind of the same for you?
That's basically the same. Yeah. Yeah. And mm-hmm. it's, but of course, even when you're doing that, if you're kind of free flowing and you know, you've got to fit in a gap, you kind of at the same time have got to do that thing that I've learned I need to do with my children's writing, is to still try to stop it from being too free flowing. I mean, I don't want that to come across as like a, it's not like an organic process, because creativity is of course, an organic process. And, you know, I think you've got to give, you know, however way you do it, you've got to do it your way, right? And you know, when I'm writing from my heart, which I do with my children's writing, without a doubt, you know, it's difficult to stop that heart from talking, right? And you know, even though you've got to try and sort of hone it to a point where you're not putting too much in, so the children who are reading it can put their hearts and their imagination in it as well. So I don't want it to sound like I'm purposefully, how can I say, cutting off my creativity. So I'm not allowing myself, because what I think's happened in the last couple of years is just more of a case of, if I'm honest, it's a case of my editor would say to me, we need to rewrite this again and again. And I'm thinking, how about if I don't want to do so many rewrites, I stop myself from overwriting so much in the first place. Yeah. So you don't have to then go on to do more. And it's a kind of, it's a self-help creativity, I think, where you're trying, where you're sort of, I'm not going to have to make myself do so much work, because I'm mindfully telling myself to slightly slow it down and remember that there's a reader at the end of it that's got to put themselves in there. So
That's interesting. And I know, like, through your like background too, like, you've been a teacher, you've written for like all sorts of networks, studios, articles, all sorts of things. And like, I'm curious on the creative factor. Like, I know there's a lot of creatives that are listening and we're going through these ups and downs, the challenges, the roadblocks, maybe writer's block. How are some of those challenges? Like, what do you do creatively to get through? Do you have any tools? Like, maybe you're stumped, you're writing your next book, right? And you're just like looking at the blank page. What are some of these tools that you could share with some of our listeners that could maybe help them?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I'm first to say that, you know, just because I've done all that writing and other creative work, you know, don't get me wrong, I understand that when you think you're on a path to creativity in a certain way, and then somebody comes along and smacks you to the side, and you think, whoa, I thought I had that sorted. I had that story, and I had my life sorted. But especially with what's happened in the last few years with the pandemic, we've all had to change our way of living. And so, I think for me, resilience is the key, and tenacity, which are just really, they're just words, but I think, I think it's partly where you should not punish yourself if you go through a long stage of not writing or not creating. I mean, whatever you're doing, creativity, music, arts, writing, you know, whatever, you're going to always have times where the fuel to be creative is not enough, is not there. And so I think what's happened, especially in the last few years, is a lot of us have had to shut ourselves down. And of course, we normally have a lot more interactions. I don't know about you, but I find that human interaction fuels my creativity, right? And so the very fact of us all being told to stay in and not interact, where our fuel is going to be less. So I don't think anybody should be concerned if they've been through times in the last few years that they can't create, because they, you know, that's happened to us all. But in terms of me, what I do, I suppose for sure it's making sure what you've got in your other parts of your life are working well. So to me, I have to do my I do a lot of my countryside walking, right? So I go out walking a lot of hiking. And if I don't have my hiking and sort of exercise and things and outdoor time, then my brain can't get into creativity as much as it could. So, but it's not just that, it's making sure you've got your cookies to put in your tea, like I do. I've got to have my cookies and my biscuits to put in my tea to make me calm. I've got a lovely cat that helps me feel lots of really chilled out, and he's really chilled out boy. He'll show me when I need to sit down at my desk when I've been basically walking around, if I've been trying to procrastinate for half a day, and then he'll look at me and go, just sit down and do something, will you? I project my inability to do things onto him, and then that comes back. But I think it's a case of, my tools in terms of my mind. I know there's some days where I have down days and I'm tired, but especially if I've done a lot more creating the last few days. And I don't think I've got used to trying to tell myself that's okay to rest and not to panic and not to think there's going to be an end to your creativity. Because if you're a creative person, you're never gonna never stop being creative. You just have times, you know, when you feel like it doesn't come as easily as it could. One of my friends, she's just finished a book, and she's been working on this book for about 6 years, you know, so quite a long time. She's re-edited it, and she said to me the other day, she said, I've run out of my fire. And that was her words. I ran out of my fire because I feel I've run out of my ideas. And I said, I'm not going to have any more ever again. And I said to her, no, you've just been working on a project for so long that you've put yourself into it. And what you need is a time when you're not doing writing, probably, in order to refuel yourself. So that makes sense. I think it's give yourself time to have a life as well as be a writer.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with that. And I guess I would consider that like when you're losing your fire, you know, reset, recalibrate. Like you said, going on these hikes or walks, I find that really helpful even for myself and my creativity. I'm just like, okay, I need to go outside or mix something up, change some variable, because especially I find like with writing, it's a lot of, you're secluded, you know, in your own thoughts and you're just free flowing. And sometimes you need to take that break, whatever it is, whether it's, you know, going outside, or, you know, saying hi, petting your dog or cat, you know, yeah, whatever that
works,
is.
That works for you, does it? You find that you really kind of, that unlocks your creativity. Yeah.
I definitely, for me, like, especially I feel nature for me is something that always just rekindles my fire. And I'm sure a lot of other creatives, it's the same way when you go out and nature inspires art too, you know, and it just like resets and just like kind of like even us interacting, just like you said, we're human. We love people and being social. And I think like that's the interesting thing of these past 2 years is we haven't been as social, you know, or maybe, you know, we're finally coming back together. So it's an adjustment, right? And for creatives, you know, we're always going to be creating, or we might have to pause for a moment to take care of ourselves and whatnot. Have you ever had maybe one of those moments where you're kind of mad at yourself, like, oh, I wish I wrote more. And then you're like, but I need to take care of myself.
Oh God. Yeah. I have them basically every day. I do. So I've got to be honest, there's some weeks. I think it also fluctuates around a certain kind of time of year, or as well as what you're doing. with life. I mean, I did some other work helping out in the UK for a COVID outreach job. So that took up a lot of my time. But I wanted to do something to help people rather than just do my writing. But of course, that took up my time and I didn't have any energy left to write. But I thought to myself, that's okay, because I'm doing something to help people. And then afterwards, I'm going to be able to look back and go, I'm glad I did that. It was a helpful thing. It's a really, really strange time to go through, but I did something to help people. And then, but then of course, what's happened in the last few weeks, I'm still going through a transition phase where I'm trying to get back into my writing, and there's not been so many hours as I used to do with my writing, because I've been out all day long doing this other work. But that's not a bad thing, because I've had lots of other ways it's fueled me. I've met loads and loads of people, lots of people, they're going to, you know, fuel me too. But I think, yeah, again, don't punish yourself. Sometimes I'll go through a day where I think I'm going to write all day long. Because I feel like I'm in the zone. I'm really, really great. And then somebody will phone me, or something will happen. It will just completely knock me off. And then I'll take the whole rest of the day doing things like admin or emails or other things like that I didn't intend to do. And then I'll get to about 8 o'clock at night, and I think, oh, I've done no writing. And then I'll do an hour, and then that's, then I'll have a beer, and I think, oh, that's enough. So yeah, definitely some days I feel, don't worry if it doesn't go how you expect. Even though I mean, obviously it's different if you're commissioned to do work and you've got a really tight deadline, you know, there's a different thing going on there. Whereas if you're writing a script for a studio or a producer, you know, you often get really tight deadlines, so it certainly helps persuade you, motivate you to get on with it. But you're not a machine, are you? Well, none of us are machines. We can't, you know, I would say to a lot of people listening, don't be worried about the deadline thing. If you need to ask for an extension on your deadline, you must ask, because people can only say no or be as understanding as you'd hope them to be. So I've with my children's book, I've had to have, yeah, quite a few deadline extensions. Yeah.
Well, totally understandable. I think, like, sometimes these deadlines are important, but then also, you know, if you can't meet it, it's okay too, you know, and to not be so hard on yourself or like critical of like, oh my gosh, I didn't make this deadline, you know. As long as you're transparent with your collaborators, I think that's the most important thing. Usually I ask all my guests, you know, one word that kind of coincides for them with creativity. And I was wondering, Anthony, what your one word is.
My one word would be inspiration. Do you want to explain?
Yeah. Sure.
Inspiration. Yeah. Because I think it's not only about the fact that you get inspired to do your writing, but if you write something that has a good social message as well as a really great story and really fun, you're going to inspire other people to be. So I see it like as a fluid inspiration, where you're getting it and you're passing on your inspiration to other people too.
So true. I love that, because I feel like every form of art and any form of creativity inspires others, you know, and then that kind of has that ripple effect. I was wondering if you could show us, you know, your book that just came out. We'd love to see like some of your books, like share, like, okay,
yeah, let's see. I've got two of my children's books. So this one is The Animal Lighthouse, which is out on May the 12th in the UK. And it's
amazing.
It's really cool. It's beautifully illustrated. And it's about a boy called Jim who grows up with a group of animals on an island in the Caribbean. He doesn't know who his real father is until the pirates come. Ooh. And then he finds out. Yeah. And I've got my other picture book, which is called The Wish Fish, which is already out over here. And I do lots of kind of workshops with kids in schools. I read this and then I kind of do dress up in costumes and we kind of we throw blow up fish around and things like that. So it's really
good. That sounds like fun.
Yeah, and I'm hoping that this we're trying to get this sold to the States. So fingers crossed.
So okay, I'm crossing my fingers. But can some of the states people we can buy your book though online? Correct. Some of the people
you can buy it online. Okay. Yes, you can buy it online already. Yeah.
And where can some of our listeners come, like, if they're like interested in buying your books or following you, can they follow, do you have a website or some social handles that some of our listeners can follow you?
Absolutely. So I'm on Twitter. So I'm Anthony with an H, J Burt, B-U-R-T. So I'm on Twitter. I'm also on Instagram, Anthony Burt 4. I don't know who the other three are. I've not met them.
Who knows?
Who knows? And also, yeah, my website's anthonyburts.com. So you could go on there and you could buy the book through there and you can find out a bit more about my past work with, which, you know, as like I said, teaching and youth work and things like that. So, yeah, please do. And send me a message, you know, whatever you want. Say hello. That'd be fantastic. And I am slowly working on coming back to California at some point in the future.
Well, I can't wait to see you in person when you come to California to visit. So you'll have to let me know. And I appreciate you coming on the Limitless podcast. And definitely your one word inspiration is so key to our fellow listeners. I know all of our creatives, you know, you just have to tap into your why. What is your why? What's inspiring you? And just keep pushing. And it's okay. Like Anthony said, you know, to have a day or extend a deadline, it's totally okay. So stay limitless and keep creating. Thanks so much, Anthony.
Thank you, Lori. Take care.
Thanks.